We're doing the Chazon Ish, Emunah u'Bitachon. We're up to page Chaf Dalid, the 10th paragraph, the 10th section of the 3rd chapter. V'kam efligu chazal b'kiyum adin, at shamu perkam de shabbat, kol dayan shedan din emet lamito afilu sha'achat, ma'ale alav ha'katuv kilu nasa shutaf la'kadosh baruch ma'aseh b'reshit. Our sages went so far with regards to establishing justice. Our sages said that when a judge is careful to judge things superiorly accurate, where he ensures that he is 100% on the mark, even if he can only do it for a short amount of time a day, it's considered as though he partnered with God in creation. By maintaining justice, by maintaining what's right in the world, you're maintaining the world. The world functions based on that. Like the Mishnah says in the first chapter of Tractate Avos, there are three things the world stands on. Din, emet, shalom. What's the first one? Din, justice. When you know that if someone takes something from you in an unlawful manner, you can get it back. The Katavatu and the Tur writes, v'zeu kavanat razal b'omram kol adan. What did our sages mean when they said, if you judge with supreme honesty, you become a partner with God in creation? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara olam liot kayam. God created a world so it would last. When people are wicked, when they steal, when they take things forcibly, they're destroying the world with such actions. As we find in the generation of the flood, God sealed their fate when they were found guilty of thievery. So then what happens when you have an honest judge and he breaks the cartels and he destroys the mafia, and this judge ensures that when things are taken unlawfully, they're given back to their rightful owner, mekayem haolam. That's what it means. He's ensuring the world will remain extant because he's ensuring justice, and we know that the lack of justice brings about destruction. So then he is in fact causing the will of God to come out because God wants the world to last. So then it's as though he became a partner with God in creation. Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom lo yidao Hashem v'kro ha-avi ela al asher alach bederech ha-mishpat v'edrich bo banav. Even Avram, God says, I connect with him, I love him, because he is fair and honest, and that is how he guides his children. Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom rabban shekol ha-nevi'im, and even Moshe, who is the master of all prophets, lakach atzat Yitro binyan ha-mishpat la'amid shoftim. He took counsel with his father-in-law Jethro, asked him, how do I appoint judges, lazir tisrael vel tzavotam advar ha-mishpat? Asked him, how do I set up such a system so that the people are taught to be honest and do things fairly? V'Hashem iskim al yado. God agreed. V'Yoshua achei korto brit im Yisrael siyem dvaro b'mishpat. Even Joshua, he finishes his pact with Israel. He concludes with this idea that there's going to be justice. Dichtiv, as the verse says, v'aychot Yoshua brit l'am b'yom ahu v'yasom l'chok u'mishpat b'shchem. Joshua makes a pact with the people and he ensures there's justice. K'amishpat hu yisod v'ikar gadol b'avodat Hashem. Because justice is fundamental. It is one of the most basic things in the service of Hashem, and the tour over there goes on and on. We're going back to what the Chazon Ish was saying. Sometimes you see an argument and you're sure you want to side with one side. Stop. Who does the halacha side with? One of the most disgusting things I see is disgusting divorces. Sometimes see the parents are willing to destroy the kids just to spite the other side. And it's one of the cruelest things you can see. It's devastating to watch. And you try talking to people and you say, don't you see what you're doing? Nobody home. And it's as though when you enter this arena, there's no God. People are willing to do things, and for some reason they never question themselves. Maybe I have to ask Allah HaShayla before I spread lies about my ex.
even though I think I'm right, and they're so terrible, but maybe I have to ask, maybe that's not permitted. The second big problem we have with nasty divorces is the tendency that people have to take sides. What right does a person have to say, I side with him or her? You heard one side of the story. Believe me, the smallest nuance makes all the difference. And sometimes there's just one more fact that they omitted that makes all the difference. I can give limitless examples, unfortunately. There are so many examples. I'll give an example not from divorce, just because the examples are so burning in me. I'm scared. I'm not going to change it enough, and then I want to maintain people's privacy. So a few years ago, I was on a bus, and a friend of mine stops me. He says his son was employed by a carpenter. I'm changing a few facts, but the story is the same. And they went to do a job in someone's house. They left the house, and it was a house that wasn't yet lived in. It was under construction. And his son, who's in charge of collecting all the instruments that are used, loaded the car. And then the boss told him, we got to go. And he wanted to take one more look in the house to make sure they didn't leave behind any tools. And the boss said, we got to go. And they went, and they left behind a tool that cost over 1,000 shekel, and they came back the next morning, it was gone. Now the boss says, I hired you to collect my tools. And the kid says, I asked for another minute to look over the place. And the boss says, you didn't tell me you're not sure there wasn't anything left. And the kid says, but I did ask you for another 2 minutes. And the boss says, but you didn't ask me, you didn't say you needed those 2 minutes to look over to see we didn't leave anything behind. So the father asks me, does my son have to pay out of his paycheck the 1,000 shekel? Guys, what's the answer?
No, I don't know.
The answer is you don't know. The answer is the difference over here between what went on in that conversation is a difference of a word or two. Whether the kid expressed himself correctly, whether the boss expressed himself correctly. And the question is, in their original agreement, was it understood that if the kid forgets a tool behind, he has to pay for it?
No.
I'm saying there are a lot of things that have to be understood here. And you can't understand any of that from this guy's story. So very often guys come over and say, I have a dispute with someone. I want to ask you what you say. We both feel you're honest. We want to ask you. And I say, no, I'm not going to answer. The difference of one word can sometimes make the whole difference.
Did you find out the original?
No. I told him, if you can't bring the kid and his employer to a Rav to hear both sides of the story, where one can dispute what the other one says, and you'll very often get it down to one word. Sometimes it'll make a difference of one word. Did I say that word? Didn't I say that word? Was this understood in the agreement? Was it not understood in the agreement? Now imagine the kid says, I told him I want to look over to see there are no more tools. Then obviously he doesn't have to pay. Imagine the boss told him when he hired him, I want you to understand, I'm paying you a high rate, but it's on condition that I don't lose a tool while you're here. Your prime responsibility is to ensure we collect the tools. Or if the boss would say, I told you 1,000 times, your job is to have the tools piled up, stacked in one place, so that when we leave, they're all in one place and we don't have to go back a second time. Imagine, you know, these are little things that go on during the work, and the father ain't going to know that. So the answer is, I don't know. And in divorces, there are a million nuances. Go figure out who's really doing what's right and wrong. And people play a lot of games. I know a story where the husband left his wife $12 million. But it was in her interest to seem like she didn't have a penny, so she let the electric jump. She didn't pay the electric bills and the water bills. And she kept telling the community she needs charity because, look at what the guy's doing to me. He's leaving me without electric for the kids, and there's no heat in the winter, and there's no water. And this way she got the kids all turned against him. Now, anyone looking at the story, true story.
A divorce?
Yeah. No, divorce. Oh. Anyone looking at the story would say, of course the father's a bum. What father leaves his kids without heat or water or electric? And the answer is he didn't. He left her with $12 million. Ah, but wait a second. Then why is the, why don't they have no electric or heat or water? Because she wants the kids to think that that's what the, their father did to them.
I'm hoping that's an extreme example.
Yeah, we'd like to think so, wouldn't we? I'm just saying, you cannot judge. Even as a child, you can't judge, let alone as an outsider. Even a child doesn't really know what happened in his own home. The Chazon Ish is saying, you want to know what emunan bitachon is? Well, emunan bitachon revolve around doing things in accordance with halacha. Justice means I understand the case, and I can understand what the halacha says about the case. Elokim yivakeshet nirdaf. The verse says, God is always on the side of the underdog. The key here is, you don't know who the underdog is. Very often you look as an outsider and you think you know what's going on. No, you don't. And so I'm saying this is a prime example of what the Chazon Ish is talking about. You want to go in the way of the Torah. You want to go with faith in Hashem in the Torah. Faith in Hashem doesn't mean I take my vantage point of what justice should be and I'm going to fight for it. I told you guys the story. I walked once into the lunchroom. There were two guys fighting over a knapsack. One was literally biting the other. You're talking adults. Beating, biting. And someone asked me, why don't you get involved? I said, two reasons. One, I'm scared for my teeth. One punch and I lost them. Two, I don't know who's right. Whose side should I jump on? What does that mean, get involved? Each one claims it's his bag. How can I get involved? Oh, you want to call big people to separate them and figure out who what the truth is? That's a good thing. I'm not a big person, so what am I going to get involved for? You know, if I were twice their size and I could grab them both and pick them up, okay, then we could talk. But they could both do that to me, so.
והנה יעמיד רבנו זל דבריו בתחילת חושן משפט ללמוד דעת שגדרי הגזל והחמאס אינן נפטרין על פידת פני אדם. וחזון איש reiterates his original point. The Torah is telling you at the onset of the laws of monetary matters. You cannot rule just because of what you think is fair or right. רק על פי חוקי התורה, the Torah gives us a justice system. וכל שהוא נגד הדין הוא גזל. And if you're going off the justice system, that's thievery. Sometimes emotionally it doesn't feel right. That's nice. It doesn't feel right. But there's halacha. And if you're going in accordance with the justice, then you're doing justice. And sometimes a common person is going to look at it and say, that doesn't seem fair to me. Right, it doesn't seem fair to you. I'm very sorry. You'll learn some more, you'll understand some more, you'll understand why it is fair. At first glance, very often people don't understand. That's true, they don't understand. So the guy who came to criticize me, so he's giving me over the head, and I'm listening. And his whole conversation was, there's a certain divorce going on, and he feels I should take a side. He doesn't know anything about what's going on in that divorce. So he says, Rabbi, why don't you get involved? I said, you have a good point. I'll think about it. Little does he know that every day this week, I spent 2 hours on that case. But he's coming, give me over the head. You know, well, Rabbi, why aren't you involved? And how could you ignore it? And don't you realize there are people suffering? And I listened. I said, okay, I appreciate your criticism. I'll think about it and I'll see how I can employ it in my life. And with that, I ended the conversation. It's none of his business what I did or did not do. But he was quick to call a shot based on limited knowledge. Whenever you see a divorce case, your emotions will rise. You'll see things and you'll be sure, this is dead wrong, this is terrible. Wait a second, there's a lot you don't know. So take a step back and you can be a nice person and just offer innocent help. Do your kids need a place to sleep? Do you want some extra food? Could we help with, there are little basic things that you could help with. And we'll just end the paragraph. וכמו שכתב הגריס הצהל בגרתו שכל מה שאינו שלו בדין הוא גזל האמור בתורה. Anything we have that is not ours according to the laws of Torah, well, that's thievery. You want to know what thievery is in Torah? If the halacha does not allow me to have that, then that's thievery. The fact that I can figure out a way of getting away with it doesn't mean it's not thievery. Is the halacha on my side or not? And it pays to ask because the halacha is liberal. There are instances where the halacha says, that's okay. The halacha isn't out to get you. The halacha is out to get what's right and fair. And this comes up often. Now Golan is giving you an offer. Refer a friend, you get 150 shekel off your bill. Okay, now you understand there are a lot of games you could play with that. We had a guy here who told us an interesting thing with credit cards, how you can make a whole living off credit cards with these different deals that if you refer people, you get No, wasn't it here? I think it was here. It was when you guys came to Kochav Yaakov. You guys might have been gone by that stage of the discussion. But there are things which the halacha says, yeah, that's legal, you can do that. So the halacha isn't just out to tell you no, but what's right is legal, meaning whatever the halacha allows us to do is you're entitled to, and if not, that's thievery. Okay, so that's that paragraph.